Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give you all the news, the reviews, and the
rumors
on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. I'm joined by Jordan. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Doing well. My God.
You didn't say it with the same vigor that Vic normally says it with. He normally is like, doing well.
This show, we've become a parody of ourselves.
It's brilliant. It's so meta, man. <It's> so meta.
What's his name? Mark Zuckerberg. He'll be looking from, I was going to say looking from the heavens. He's not fucking dead. Looking from above with glee and joy.
He'll be listening along through our iPhone speakers.
Did you ever see that video he did where he basically was calling the Apple product inferior to his headset?
No, I did not see that.
It was kind of creepy.
Oh, is that like the headsets?
You know, the Vision Pro?
Yeah.
He was comparing it to his
like
Meta
Quest.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I haven't seen it. He's a dork.
He's all weird. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, how have you been, Jordan?
Been really well. Been loving playing games, and I must say it is a lot of it is due to my Portal. I love my PlayStation Portal so much.
Yeah, I've come around on it too. You know,
you have. It makes me so happy that you've come around. I don't know if we've spoken about it. What's made you come around?
I just tried some different games that worked better on it and tightened up the connection a little bit, got that down a little bit. So that helped. And just, yeah, I came around a little bit. I haven't played in a week or so, but you guys mentioned Dan wouldn't play on his holiday. I actually did bring it, but I didn't play it. So
I didn't play it. I can't imagine the Wi-Fi would have been that good out where you were.
No, I don't even know why I brought it really, but I actually brought my Vita too. I didn't play that either. I kind of bring it as a backup in case, I don't know, something happens. But
it's good to be over-prepared in case something happens. When I went on my honeymoon last year, I packed so much stuff on my iPad. I had, I took my Switch. Like I had my Switch and I had Mario Golf on it. I had AW Fight Forever. I had all this stuff ready to go. And I ended up getting addicted to 2048 on the back of the airplane screens and then playing like Angry Birds for 3 hours, sleeping, and pretty much did
anything but that.
The only thing I really stuck to was Mario Golf, and then that sort of ran out. I haven't touched it since we got back from the holiday. So, but I always like to have the option.
In my defense,
I was like, what if I wanted to watch the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy on the plane? What if I wanted that urge and I couldn't? That's why I needed to download it.
In my defense, I wasn't going to the beautiful beaches or any spectacular place. So it was kind of just a little retreat locally. But it was good fun. And now we've been playing a bit of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And what are you thinking of it, Jordan? I think it's a spectacular video game, personally.
Let me know your thoughts. So tell me, because you've finished it. So let's hear, because you've experienced way more of it than I will have. So talk to me about what you're finding that's so spectacular about it.
So I actually mainlined the story, which isn't what I would suggest, for one. Also, I played it on performance mode, which I may not suggest, because going to graphics now, geez, the graphics look good on graphics mode. I wish there was a mode where you could play graphics and then gameplay performance.
This is what I thought we were getting with PlayStation 5.
I feel like I could have sworn
this is what we were getting. We've definitely talked about this before. That has to be what next gen is. If next gen isn't that, I don't want it.
I know. This was the game that really tipped me over the edge because the graphical difference was so big. Like it was crazy. Anyway, I mainlined the story, and it was enthralling the whole way through. I thought the game was way better than the first one, the remake. Now, mind you, remake was the first Final Fantasy game I'd ever played. So not and a
same here. That was my first.
We're not pretending to be massive fans of the series. We haven't played the originals. We're newbies. And this is what they were trying to capture, the newbies. And I think they've done it, especially with this new one. I think you can jump into the new one without playing Remake and be completely fine, to be honest. You might miss some little nuances here and there, but you could probably do it. And I just think the whole world, the world building and the characters and the, you know, the gold saucer, Costa del Sol, the areas are just breathtaking. The whole time I'm thinking I'm just having so much fun. And, you know, they've got this stuff like the towers and these dumb little side quests that you would see in these Ubisoft games, and we would critique it. But I sound like a hypocrite, which we usually are, and I don't care. I enjoy doing it in this game. I enjoy doing the towers. So there is something different about it that I can't quite put my finger on in this game, that they get away with no innovation, really. I mean, the gameplay is kind of innovative, but they've only just expanded on that from Remake, the sort of turn-based mixed with real, you know, action. But it is phenomenal gameplay. I mean, it's so addicting to me. I love it. And then you throw on top this crazy card game with this fully fleshed out story involved. Yeah. I mean, I played that for 20 hours doing all the missions and shit to do with that. I loved it. And I'm a sucker for those games, as everyone knows. But I'd put this up there with Gwent for card games, for mini games. And the amount of mini games in this is insane. We're talking 100 plus, from sit-ups to riding a dolphin.
What?
To,
the dolphin one. Yeah, just
have you done the dolphin one? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, chocobo riding and fucking, it's just so fun. The whole game is just a breath of fresh air. That it's funny. That's a big thing for me. Really funny, the whole thing. Lighthearted, but also a great villain. You know, it's just got everything.
I do agree. From what I've played so far, I do love that the tone seems a bit lighter. In the first one, when you're in Midgar, it's very doom and gloom. It's very industrial, very...
I don't
think steampunk's the right word, but it's very just like, blah.
Yeah, and there is some levity in the first one. Don't get me wrong, but there definitely is.
But I reckon the environment is a better reflection now of the levity that this game can bring. I reckon that's what I appreciate more about this one so far. It hasn't got its hooks in me like it's got its hooks in you.
Yeah,
I still really I'm really enthralled by the story. And the only thing I really know about the Final Fantasy VII story is what I assume is something that happens at the end, like the big spoiler that we've all seen the cutscene of with the bad guy and what he does, I'm assuming, at the end of Final Fantasy VII. That's the only thing I know about this game. But I knew about it before going in. And apart from what I've played in the story so far in Remake and Rebirth, I don't know anything else. So I'm really enthralled with the story and where it's actually going. And now that I feel like I understand what actually happened in the first one, because it was a while ago that I actually played through it all and I've finished it recently, I am really excited to see where it goes. One of my little problems is, though, the stuff in between the major story beats I'm not a fan of. So last night I was doing an admission where I needed to like go and collect these soldiers to then go and perform in like a marching band thing, which is like, that's a bit goofy, a bit wacky.
So funny. Yeah.
But it makes me go, I don't really care about this.
It's a whole chapter of no gameplay, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that sort of stuff is like the typical,
Japanese style
stuff where like it's a bit wacky and zany and a bit like, oh, we're going to have a, same as in the first one where you've got the cross-dressing section where Cloud is in the fashion show and he pretends to be a girl or whatever it is. I'm sure there's a culture that thinks this is like funny and fun and appealing.
Okay, so what about stuff like the card game or the piano, the fully fledged piano?
So I haven't got to the piano yet. I haven't experienced that. The card game I do like because it's complex, but it's not too complex. And it's quite short and it's quite approachable. So I have enjoyed Queen's Blood. I did get stuck on one match early on, like 15 times it took me, but it really made me think. It really made me think, okay, what am I doing wrong? And then I was like, what's my strategy? What cards am I going to use to help me do my strategy? So then I was like mulliganing out my cards that I didn't want so I could start with my strategy of starting from the top left corner and then occupying down. So it made me really think, because it's so simple, it was good. I liked it.
Mm.
I must say, and this is going to be come as no surprise to anyone who's like listened to me on this podcast for a while now, I don't really care about any of the side stuff. I have, apart from Queen's Blood, I couldn't care less about any of the other stuff.
Yeah, look, what I like, one good thing is when you're doing some of this side busy work, there is an objective to it, and then there is this boss that they tease throughout it, this massive boss. Mm-hmm. So there is something to fight for, whereas in some of these other games, you're doing the towers and there's really nothing at the end of it. So at least you've got that. But this platinum is a big one. It's 150 plus hours.
Yeah, because you've got to go back and beat it on hard, don't you?
It's not even that. It's all the side stuff. You've basically got to do all the mini games to the best, you know, 3 stars basically to collect for Johnny. But I don't want to spoil it too much. But I'm 70 hours in, which is a hell of a lot. And I'm still going and still enjoying it, which is a testament to the game. Gameplay still hasn't, it's a great loop. I find it to be a great loop. I don't find it to ever get boring. You can always mix up your materia and abilities and try different things. And you've got so many characters to switch between. I've been liking Barret and Aerith, probably my two favorites.
Yeah.
You probably haven't unlocked them all yet.
Yeah, well, I've still got the main crew from the previous one. I've really liked Red 13 and Tifa.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Red's good.
So those two might be not my go-to. I haven't really had that much of a chance because I don't even know. Can you even choose your party when you've got all five of them? Is that you can choose who's with you?
Some story quests lock you to certain people. So you're forced to go through, which I like because they force you to try everyone. In some sections, you know, you can't blame them for doing a chapter like you said, where there's no gameplay and it's kind of like a Guitar Hero performance to just kind of break it up. There's also, you know, a Queen's Blood tournament part of this story mode as well. So there's stuff like that that breaks it up, but I believe you can skip it if you want. So,
well, that sort of stuff would normally be a side quest. I like that they've tried to incorporate some of that into the main story, particularly that Queen's Blood stuff. And then if you want to go and do more with it after, you can. Like, they give you a pretty healthy taste of it and then say, if you want to go do some of this now that you're out of the, that's like not the main quest anymore, go for it. There's stuff out there for you to do. So I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, the open world feels pretty lively too. Comparing to other open world games in the last few years, it feels like there's a lot going on and there's little things happening all over the shop. And, you know, I'm starting to go 100% each area now, and, you know, I'll do all the side quests in the first area and then another side quest will unlock in that area that was kind of hidden, and a new area will unlock and that you thought you were done, but there's still more and more just in this first area.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can get overwhelming in that aspect, but I say play it because I recommend this game because you don't have to do any of that stuff. You can mainline the story and you'll give it a 9, 10 out of 10, in my opinion, or the lowest an 8. And you don't have to do a single side quest and you'll love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm never, because even though the side quests aren't for me, I would never say like, oh, there's too many side quests, don't play it, because I'm still really enjoying what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm still really enjoying what I'm doing. Without doing those sort of things, which I think is a testament to how well it is paced. There is a few slow moments. There's like that mission I spoke about before. There's a mission where you're playing as Barret and Red 13 and you've fallen into like a cave and you need to get out. And that sort of dragged for me as well.
Yeah, I understand.
The gameplay is really fun. Being in combat is a lot of fun because sometimes it is a bit like a puzzle that you need to try and solve and go, okay, what strategy is going to work for me here? What element are they weak to? What attack are they weak to? How can I get my synergy attack off? So I need to make sure I'm jumping between characters to make sure I'm using their, is it skills? Is that what the using your ATB
and their synergy abilities as well, yeah, the limits
so that you can get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do really love that aspect of it. The combat is so much fun and it's so fast moving. It's stylish. I've pretty much played exclusively on my Portal. I had a small session on the TV.
And how is it? Good. Then
it looks fantastic.
Wow.
It looks so good. And I'm playing on performance on my Portal too.
Mate, you're going to be Portal moving forward. That's it.
I will. It's usually during the week that I'm going to my Portal. So like when my wife's home and we're just sitting on the couch, if she wants to watch something on TV, that's what it's there for, which is fantastic. If she wants to then go to bed, and I'm just like, well, I can just take this with me. I'll go to bed. I'll put something on the TV while I'm playing. It's fantastic. That's good.
Well, you're about to get on the ship and get to Costa del Sol. So you're heading to my favorite part of the game.
Yes, yeah, so I think last night I just finished chapter 4. So I am still quite early. I'm only about 10 hours in, but I have been playing something else, which we'll talk about after, that's been taking up more of my time. That's been drawing me more than Final Fantasy.
Chapter 5 is the boat, as I said, the tournament, and then 6 is Costa del Sol. Costa del Sol is so fun. That's where the bikini scene and everyone, you know, loses it over that.
Yeah.
yeah, you know, I don't need to go into that. And then
I actually don't, but I'm looking forward to find out maybe.
Yeah, I think it went viral for a few reasons. Anyway, and then even when you get to Gold Saucer a few chapters later, that's a brilliant area where I won't spoil it, but
yeah,
I think they do a great job of introducing characters in kind of each chapter and continuing the momentum very nicely in towards the ending. I think chapter 10 was a bit slower. And then I think chapter 12 or 13 really was a bit of a slog to get to that final boss. And the final boss is tough. I had to actually reload the save because I only went in with a couple of giga potions, which was not enough to take out a certain guy. So I needed to go back and I just sold everything and got about 100 giga potions. So I got through him very easily the second time. I didn't think it was too bad of a game difficulty on normal. So I'm looking forward to tackling on hard. It probably opens up a bit more on hard. And that should be interesting, but I'm obviously quite leveled now. I think I'm level 60. The max is 70, I think. So I'm getting there. I've done a lot, but there's lots to love. There's lots to love. I think we'll talk about it more next episode. Yep. Hopefully I might have the platinum by then. Who knows? I think with Dragon's Dogma coming out, which is my next one, the time is limited, so I might hopefully get it done, but I've still probably got 70 hours left on it. That's not easy. And you probably, hopefully you can stick with it, Jordan. I know it's
I do really enjoy it. Like I said, the story is keeping me going. It's more than just a story, but like I'm really wanting to find out what's going to happen next. Story and gameplay are my two biggest draws at the moment for games, where if it's fun and if the story is going to push me, then I'm going to keep going with it. So I do want to keep going with it. So hopefully,
five to nine are fantastic. Chapters 5 to 9 are really, really good. So I'd like to hear what you thought of those. But what else have you been playing?
So,
because I'm playing something else too, by the way.
Yeah, well, let me talk about mine first, champion.
Yeah, no, you talk yours. Because so yours, I want to play Balatro. I'm keen.
Yes, I've been playing Balatro, which some of you may have heard of, some of you may not have. Essentially, it is a playing card roguelite or roguelike, however you want to call it. So essentially, your game is split up into 8 antes with 3 rounds in each ante. So you have a small blind, a big blind, and then I can't remember what the final one's called.
Yeah,
it's like basically the boss.
It's kind of a mixture of poker, right? And
yes. So what happens is when you start up the game, you have to get 300 points, and you get points by making poker hands out of the 7 or 8 cards that you're dealt. And you're able to, you get a certain amount of hands per
you get a certain amount round. Of skips, don't you?
Yeah. And then you get a certain amount of discards.
That's the thing you got to handle with care, right? Is that?
Yes. So you might get, you might get dealt a hand where you're not able to make anything of note. You'll always be able to play something because you might be able to play either a high card or a pair, but you're not going to get a very good score for that. So you want to try and, you know, go for a straight or a flush or a royal flush, full house, that sort of stuff. So you pick your cards, you want to discard, you get rid of them, and then you draw a new card. So you always got about seven cards. And what happens is getting 300 on your first hand is very, very easy. And then in between each round, you will earn money that you can then go to the store and purchase things. And the things that you're purchasing are either Joker cards, which are like special abilities, which will say like get a 15 times multiplier every time you play a flush, or aces earn a four times multiplier, or all diamonds earn a four times multiplier, or every time you play a four and a 10, add 20 chips to your total. And so the way you score is that, let's say you get a flush, for example, it'll be, I think an upgraded flush is something like 75 times 20. And then when you play, for example, a 10, 4, 2, ace, and a 3 of hearts, it adds a 10, a 4, an ace, a 2, a 3 to your score. And then your score is multiplied by multiplier. So that's how you get your points. And then the game keeps escalating from there.
So how do you lose scores if you can't get a certain amount of points?
If you can't make the points
and the points keep going up. Yeah.
And the points will keep going up, but you'll get money that you can buy things to enhance your multipliers. You can buy new cards that have different effects. You can destroy cards.
Is there bosses?
So the boss is every third ante or third round in an ante. And so, and the bosses will have special things like face cards are nerfed. So when you play them, you don't get the points from playing a face card. Or they'll be like extra big blind. So an extra big score for you to make.
How much of it is luck?
It's still luck because it's still playing card, like it's still playing card game. So, you know, I had a deck the other day. I got my first win the other day and it was banking on me being able to play flushes all the time. So I tried to make sure my deck was full of hearts. So whenever I would get a special ability to turn cards into hearts, I would make sure that I was getting rid of as many diamonds as I could because I had less of them to turn them into hearts and all that sort of stuff. What was your question?
Well, I actually want to know how hard it is and how luck-based it is.
So it's still luck-based because you're discarding cards and then you're drawing some and you're not guaranteed to draw the cards you need to get a big
point. Yeah, but is it more skill or more luck? What would you say?
It is a bit of skill because you need to know what hands are likely. So you can look at what cards you've got left in your deck and go, all right, it's more likely that I'll be able to draw a hearts card compared to a spade or diamond. So I'm going to discard these cards in the hope I draw hearts to play a flush to get my score I need. So it is part skill, but then there is some luck. You could do all the right things, but not draw the cards you need, like any card game. So it is still a skill versus luck thing. I've only got one win. Now, I'm not saying I'm the best. I haven't looked up anything for the game. So I'm sure if you looked up, there's some pretty cool strats that would help you. But I was pretty much just playing and doing what I could. And I've only managed to get one win.
What's a win? What is that?
So you go through essentially 24 rounds, which is eight antes, and you get to the thing and you, like, the final score is something like 70,000 you need to get. So when you beat the boss and finish a run, it'll say, do you want to switch to endless now? And you can keep going. But you can also, like, when your run ends, you can save the seed for that run. So you could go back and start playing with the cards that you had for like an endless run.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty cool. See how far you can
legitimately get. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so much fun and it's so addicting and it's got that one more factor of just one getting there and going, oh, damn it. All right, one more. Because a round could take you half an hour.
So what are these tarot cards and spectral cards and jokers?
Yeah, so there's a few things that you... Yeah. So the jokers, you can have five jokers at a time and they'll give you multipliers for having certain things, for doing certain things, for meeting certain conditions. You can have five of those at a time. And then you've got tarot cards, which will They're like one-time use things that'll do things like destroy cards if you want them to. They will switch suits of cards. You can imitate a card, all that sort of stuff. You've then got...
So there's a lot of strategy then.
There's a lot with these other cards.
That's where the strategy comes in.
Yeah. Because then you can buy booster packs and it'll say like, choose one of these five playing cards. And one of them might be a glass card, which gives you 25 plus chips when you score with it, but it has a 1 in 4 chance of breaking when you play it. So there's luck involved in that sense. There's like, you get these space cards that give you a boost to specific hands you could play. So you might upgrade a flush. So instead of a flush giving you 25 times 10, it now gives you 45 times 20 as a base. Yeah, and then that's how you sort of build. That's like the build of your deck.
How much does the game cost? Cheap?
I believe it was 18 Aussie dollars.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to buy. I think you've sold me.
It is so much fun. I heard about it and I was like, I don't know about this. And then it intrigued me enough that I quickly looked it up and I thought, I need to try this. And then I bought it. And yeah, so consider that a run could take 15 minutes. It could take half an hour. I've played just over 15 hours of it.
Oh, nice.
So that worked out to be, you know, about 40 runs.
How does the platinum look?
So much fun. Yeah, I haven't actually looked. I reckon it would be challenging, though. I've been getting trophies quite a bit.
No one has it.
Yeah, so I think it might be a bit challenging.
Yeah, right. That sounds good. Yeah, it's on the list.
Yeah, it's so much fun. So much fun just to jump in and just play, you know, like just before bed, you're not tired. All right, get the portal out. Let's do a quick run.
Well, it's a good portal game. Let's be honest.
Oh, fantastic portal game. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what it was made for. Yeah. I've been playing a bit of WWE 2K24. Ooh. Yeah. And this is one of the best wrestling games in years, I'm happy to report.
Yeah, this is what I've been hearing.
They've just done a lot of quality of life improvements to pretty much across the board, from GM mode to the gameplay, that it just comes together. You know, they've come a long way from that terrible game a couple of years ago.
Was it 22 or 21?
Was it 22? Could be 2020.
Maybe it was 20. They skipped 21 and then went 22, 23, 24.
Yeah. No, 23 was decent, and I think they've just added on to that now. And, you know, every year I go, I wish they did this, I wish they did that, and they've actually done a lot of those wishes. You know, just little things like, you know, the wrestlers with the straps, you can sort of take them off and
do the Kurt Angle, take them down when you get pumped up.
Yeah, and they got super finishes and flaming tables and blood and all this shit, casket matches and...
A casket? You're going to blow a casket?
You mean a gasket? Yeah. All this stuff, and it's just super fun to play with friends and get on and pick a character and just fuck around in a ladder match, and it is just super fun. You know, I haven't dabbled into the showcase mode. I was kind of disappointed with the one last year, only because
you couldn't see the main character?
John Cena, yeah. I liked he was talking and about each match and that was cool, but I didn't like it. It wasn't very immersive for me. Kind of the way they switch from gameplay to, and then they blur shit out and they have to remove different sounds and different things. It's very constricted. It's the same for this one. They blur out refs. They can't use music and just all this presentation stuff that didn't work for me. And the objectives they make you do in the showcase. I've heard it's similar on this one, so I haven't really dived in. But I love the GM mode. That's one of my favorite modes, where you get to book your matches and everything. I love that. And they've just fully given an overhaul this year. Just everything that fans of that wanted, they've put in. So that's fantastic. You know, I've spent hours already. Me and Jackson, who we've had on the show, we've got a little season going on at the moment to see who is the better booker. He's beating me at the moment, the bloody bastard. And then I also tried my faction, which is the online mode, which is kind of the mode where they try to gouge the most money out of you.
Yeah.
I've tried the just playing normal, basically just playing.
Just doing normal, exhibitions?
Yeah, just exhibition matches. Just trying different stuff like special guest referee. You would think the games have had that, but it hasn't been in there in a while. Throwing a weapon, that's a new thing. That's super fun. If you're a wrestling fan, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you can probably pick this up and have a bit of fun. Now, do you think a non-wrestling fan could have fun with it? I don't know. It's a tough one.
I should ask my wife if she'd want to try it. She tried watching Elimination Chamber with me, and she lasted through the first match and was like, I'm going to sleep. And then I was watching the most recent AEW show, which was Revolution, and she just, again, her favorite line to say is when it's on, I just don't understand why the if he
they
knows
can't
he's going to lose,
over it. Yeah, they can't.
If he knows
get
he's
going
to lose, why is he doing this? I'm like, because it's just a show, Dale. No, but if why is he doing it though? If you knew you're going to lose, why would you come? I'm like, oh, Dale.
It's fake. We know. It's a show.
It's a big theatrical show.
It translates very well into a game. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, it does because it does translate very well into a game. Can you imagine being a young kid and get like this is your first game that you have? Because I'm sure you did the same thing as me, where you would do my GM mode before there was a my GM mode, and you'd just do a series of exhibitions, and you'd have stories running in your head that you've set up with characters.
That's the universe mode, man, that they've got in this. Yeah,
yeah.
There's a whole mode for that.
As cool as it is to have now, can you imagine being a kid when your imagination just runs wild and you had like
the kids are sport.
Endless amount of time to be able to do it? Oh, my goodness.
The kids are sport.
Would be
man.
Amazing.
I mean, Here Comes the Pain is probably still the greatest game. But to be honest, if I went back and played that, compared it to this game, this game probably has the edge. Let's be honest.
Yeah, like, I'm definitely not saying the older ones had the edge. I'm just saying that. This one definitely seems like it's the better overall product without a doubt, because the other ones were missing so many things that like, why does it not have this? Why can we not go into the crowd? Why can we not do this? Anytime you could go backstage, oh man, every match was going backstage.
Yeah, and they've upgraded that too in this game. This is what I mean. Yeah. Everything's just got overhauled. So, and the roster's pretty fruitful. This year, it just sort of came together. Like, they're adding CM Punk and stuff to it.
You know what the showcase mode is going to be next year?
Who, Punky?
It's going to be Finish the Story.
That's what it is this year.
Oh, is that what it is this year?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah. No, it's this year, it's 40 years of WrestleMania. But I think the last one is Finishing the Story.
Finishing the Story.
So
my father was Dusty Rhodes.
No one gets this joke.
No one gets it. Where's Jackson? He'll get it.
So have you got any inkling of picking this one up?
Nah,
you're done?
Yeah, no, I tried.
You tried the Rey Mysterio one?
Two?
Yeah.
I think I did. And I just did exhibitions and just did universe mode. And I had a lot of fun with it. But yeah. Just that's all it really would be. Maybe when it's like on sale one day and I'll just pick it up just to have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
But nah.
So how would they get you in? Because I feel like they're doing everything here. It's almost like
I don't know how they could.
You know what I mean?
I don't know how they could.
They've not only have they got the showcase, they've also got these story ones, these story modes where you make your own character and you got to take.
Yeah. I do like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My right.
I do like the sound of it, but yeah, I don't know what they could do. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think there comes a point where you're just not interested, you know?
Yeah. There's just a lot of games I'd play above a wrestling game.
That's another thing. Exactly right. Okay, we got some little news we're going to fly through. We're so good at giving everyone the news. When's the last time we uploaded an episode?
Hey, we've been busy.
2 weeks ago. That's all right. Our audience knows now that we're
not very consistent. Let's start with this big dog one. Let's start off with this big dog one.
Yeah.
A leaked trailer has made the rounds that is of a Spider-Man multiplayer game, Spider-Man live service game that has been cancelled. And I'm going to open this story with thank goodness. Not because it looks bad. Not because I don't think Insomniac could do it. We need to learn from the PlayStation 3 era when every game just had a multiplayer mode tacked onto it. Just because you've got a really good single player game doesn't mean it's going to translate to a live service. And just because you're a good studio doesn't mean
you can make it to a live service game. Was this going to be a game? I thought it was a DLC.
No, this was going to be a full-fledged game. Now, we need to keep in mind, this trailer that has been leaked could have just been a proof of concept because it features characters like Spider-Gwen, which is a fantastic character, but moves exactly the same as the other spider people. So you would assume she's going to move differently. The villains that they have in it, which is the Sinister Six, they're not even modeled. They're just a picture of them. So it could just be that this was like a proof of concept type deal and it wasn't that far along. But all I'll say is thank goodness we don't need it. Insomniac is making some of the best single player games we're getting at the moment. Stick to what you're doing really well in a time where money is a very strict commodity and studios are getting shut down willy-nilly. Not that I'm saying Insomniac will get shut down and people are losing their jobs. Let's just steady sailing for the time being. Just steady sailing.
So this is just one of another, Naughty Dog was axed, Twisted Metal was axed recently, Guerrilla's one, it's been years and still nothing.
You would have to assume that takes the 12 live service games that Sony wanted to have out down to about 9.
Less 6, I reckon.
If you factor in Helldivers is out already, so don't include that in the count anymore, we must be down to about 6.
Jeez, Helldivers was a success. Wasn't it?
With Concord, Fair Games. Oh, actually, Foam Stars was another one that's come out. So take that off the list too. So we've got Concord, Marathon, and Fair Games being 3.
Is that out?
Horizon being 4. Foam Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, Foam Stars has been out for like a month almost.
You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. And I did try it. I did try it. I didn't get past the tutorial. And I was like,
that's bad. If you can't get through the tutorial... Yeah, that's shocking.
It wasn't so much a detriment to the game. I just wasn't in the mood for it, and I've never been in the mood again for it.
Yeah, man, that's not on you. That's not on you. Well, that's a shame, I guess, for the devs, but I could have told you it was dead on arrival. Well, it is, right? I don't know. Maybe everyone's playing Foam Stars.
Foam Stars isn't even – that's Square Enix, so I don't know if that counts.
Maybe everyone's playing Foam Stars. I just haven't heard about it.
Maybe they haven't noticed we haven't uploaded an episode.
All I've heard
is playing Foam Stars.
All I've heard about is Helldivers and how everyone's playing it.
Yeah. Hey, 2 weeks and we'll be playing it. 2 weeks, we'll be playing Helldivers together.
Yeah. We're going to play it. Helldivers and Power World took over this year, basically. And now Final Fantasy's probably not as big as those two, but it's in that conversation.
That reminds me about one thing we should talk about. I'll add it to the doc.
Oh, yeah. So in terms of this cancelled Spider-Man game, I'll play the contrarian. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I wouldn't have minded it because I think there is potential there for a co-op game where someone is Miles and someone is Peter and you work together to take down bosses. And would it be its own game? That wasn't what I was thinking. I thought this could be its own little Spec Ops sort of thing. You know, Spec Ops for Modern Warfare 2? These little curated missions where you go with your friends. What do you think? That's not bad.
As a mode, I like it.
Why does it have to be a fully fledged thing? Why can't it just be a mode?
Yeah. I like the idea of it being just you put whatever Spider-Man trappings and dressings and all that sort of stuff you need to make it sort of make sense in the thing. Maybe with what they did with the Spider-Bots could tie in with it for the next game. And, yeah, it is a Spec Ops thing where there are missions that you go to and you go and co-op with someone. That could be cool. A full game of it? Nope. Live service? Nope. Gosh, no. Don't do it.
Nah.
Not that it's DOA because it's Spider-Man and it would make money, but it's just not worth the hassle.
Yeah. Then again, Jordan, I did see some sales data, right? And Suicide Squad was third for the month.
Yeah. Only because of the name.
Well, mate, you might be right. It was only topped by, I think it was Helldivers and Final Fantasy for February, I believe, in the US. That's big. That's decent sales, I would have thought.
That is decent sales, but you know what? It's the Suicide Squad. It should have dwarfed Helldivers.
True. Should have been number one. And EU was there in the top 10, but Joker's coming in a couple of weeks, so we'll see how that pans out. Probably not well. I still have hope they can bring it around, but I'm probably with the fairies. So
you may just be.
Dragon's Dogma had a character creator they put out now on PS5, and it transfers to the full game. And we were just talking off air. We think this is a great idea. We've seen games do it before, and we think for a big RPG like this, it should be a standard, or even this and a little bit of a demo, or the first hour or two. Like Final Fantasy, I played the demo the night before. It was about a couple of hours, and then when I got into the game, I got to skip those couple hours because I'd already done it. Beautiful. Yeah, yep. I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. More games should definitely do it, especially the character creator. The demo might be a push. The character creator, though, I'd love to see the demo bit. That would be good. But the character creator for big RPGs where your character creation happens at the very beginning should be standard, because nothing takes the wind out of your sails more than getting home, installing the game, or if you buy it digitally, waiting for the game to install, then the updates install. Then you get on and you've got to go through a tutorial and then do the character creation, which can take, if you care about it, you know, half an hour to an hour, depending how in-depth you go. Wouldn't it be so much better the night before you get your character set up, all good to go?
And you take your time with it. Well, I tend, if the game's out, I could tend to rush it to get to the game. But this way, I'd probably take a little bit more care with it. So
I think it's genius.
Yeah. Probably a demo might have been a bit stretched for this game, because you can't really demo this game. It's a bit tougher. Probably need 10 hours to demo it.
Mm.
Can't really do it in two. But
it's also really good advertising, because now people are talking about the characters they made. They're looking at what characters can you make. Mm. It's fantastic. It's awesome advertising.
Well, I think Capcom are one of the leaders right now as a company, as a developer, as a publisher, because they were upping the pay. Everyone's losing stuff. They were upping the pay of some of their stuff. All their games are selling well. With Resident Evil 4, they just said that's done 7 million in a year. Big numbers.
Wow.
Big numbers for survival horror.
Huge.
You know, Monster Hunter, they said, had done 25 mil or something crazy. They got Dragon's Dogma, which is gaining hype. Who knows what else? Devil May Cry might be coming up. What's that other game called? Pragmata. So they've got things along and they're looking very, very good. So I'm quietly optimistic about Dragon's Dogma 2 being a big hit. And some of the previews, they said they're leaning into the jank of it all from the first game, but they're just exploring it. Exploring the gameplay and the world, the random events, and it sounds thrilling. I'm not playing Rise of the Ronin. I'm playing this.
No, you're off it.
I've already confirmed. Yeah,
and it's a lot of oh, it's sort of like Assassin's Creed and Sekiro, but not quite as good as either.
Oh, great, great advertising, guys. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's also the graphics are a bit underwhelming, which I didn't really notice in the other trailers, and I've sort of gone back and gone,
I mean, that's not too much of an issue for me, but because they've got their own little style, those guys. They've never been known for graphics, but I guess because it's true. Under that PlayStation banner, you kind of expect the best graphics in the industry.
Yeah, you know, expect greatness.
Yeah, you do. You really do. You expect good graphics. You expect 9, 10 out of 10, that's their brand. So when it's just a great 7 or 8, it kind of falls flat. So Yeah, no, I'm Dragon's Dogma 2 all the way. Not to say I won't play Rise of the Ronin at some stage, but they do release
on the same day. If we didn't make that clear, they're on the same day.
Yes, so I should make that clear. Yeah. So you haven't decided, did you say?
I think I'm leaning more towards Dragon's Dogma. I do want to finish Final Fantasy first. So
Final Fantasy first, yeah.
Yeah, do that. And then, yeah, obviously I want to really want to play Helldivers with you. So we're only 2 weeks away from school holiday. So hopefully you, me, and Vike will be able to jump on and do that because that looks like a lot of fun.
No, we definitely have to lock that in. Mm. So Rocket League will take the back burner and that'll be the new one.
I miss Rocket League.
We'll be back. We'll be back one day.
You reckon some of those absolute drop kicks we played against are still playing?
Yeah, those guys play. They play every day, all day.
We need to get the Psionics like support team listening because some of the names they're allowing for some of these teams.
Oh, mate,
are not
they
okay.
Obviously, aren't looking at the Oz servers. My goodness me.
We did get someone banned though. Remember
9/11 flight crew.
Yeah, that's not good.
And well, any others we can name?
No, not without getting cancelled. There were some really bad ones. Ours was just like good family fun. 4-foot donkeys. Good family fun. Some of these other ones, yeesh.
Even our insults. I mean, I don't think we go step over the line, do you?
Donkeys, weasels, pipsqueaks. That's harmless.
I don't think we go over the line, honestly.
Nah.
I mean, yeah, you would think I'm a dick if you're on the other team. But
the first 3 seconds, you're asking them to forfeit, guys. We're national champions, forfeit. What was the best comeback when you were like, we're national champions? And the guy was like, what country?
He said Afghanistan or something. It was terrible. He said Uganda. I don't know what he said, but it was.
Yeah, I think he said Uganda. And it was like, yes. And then after he scored on us, it's like, you can't argue with it.
Yeah, and we lost. But the worst one was, for everyone that doesn't know, I would jinx me and Jordan. We would get a goal. As soon as we scored, I would go, you know, forfeit, guys, forfeit you donkeys. We're way better. We're national champions. And as soon as I said that, the other team would score 2 to 3 goals almost instantly. And we'd have to fight our way back. And Jordan would give me the blame. But my opinion was he would crumble under the pressure.
No, because you admitted the curse was real. Because one night you said, that's it. I'm going to say it after every goal. And eventually the curse will be broken and we lost
we lost games about 10 in a row.
And you admitted in the middle of it right after they scored some no goal out of nowhere. Do you remember? And then you went, oh, maybe the curse is real.
Yeah, but then we broke the curse. We actually broke the curse.
We did break the curse.
So now the curse is gone. And depending on how we're playing, I'll throw it out. Even Jordan might throw it out sometimes. It's not always me.
Usually we get 3 goals up.
You've been known to sometimes throw one out after the first if you're feeling good.
Oh, if I'm feeling a bit cocky.
It's a good game. We'll be back.
Best question to hear, isn't it, to a good confidence measure is, are we throwing it out? Throw out the forfeits.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good fun. Good fun. I think the satisfaction is the teams that give it back to you.
Especially because like we don't really care if we win or lose. Do we want to win?
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Well, we do want to win, but do we care that much if we lose?
When we lose, it probably takes about 5 seconds before we forget about it.
Yeah.
There's that small dread and then on to the next one.
Yeah.
You know?
We blow a gasket and then we move on.
But then you can get those devastating losses where you have to turn the console off for the night and come back the next day. You know, we've had a few 1 second, like last second they score and win. And those ones just.
The worst loss we've ever had came recently where we were playing.
Oh, don't.
Scores were level. I've gone in for a shot and they've saved it on the line. Time has expired. And for those of you who don't know Rocket League, when the time expires, the game doesn't end until the ball touches the grass. They manage to run the ball up the side of the wall from our goal to theirs and manage to score. and we had led all game. It was devastating. And we'd been smack talking the entire
time. And also we'd missed about 10 shots that we should have got. That's the worst part.
Hardest loss to swallow ever.
Because when you know, when we know we should be hitting some of these goals and then they win like that, just can't help but go, fuck this. Anyway, I do have a tally of our win and losses, and it's like, I think it's 150 to 125. So we're 25
up.
That's not bad. 25 up.
What's our win-loss, man?
What is that? I don't know what that is. 1 point something. 1.2.
Yeah,
okay, 1.2. A couple more stories. Top Gun.
That'd Top be a cool Gun.
Game. Top Spin, 2K25, the tennis game. After 13 years, it's back. Serena Williams, Roger Federer are in the game. Good previews, and it's coming out April 26th, just in time for, I think, Wimbledon might be around the corner, so that's a good time to come out. And cover stars Serena Williams and Roger, you can't get much better. The two of the best of all time, if not the best. You can't really get better than that. So
no,
I might check this out. I think, yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing. You know, trepidation, it's 2K. They like to bastardize their games a little bit, but if the gameplay's there, I don't have to pay
for
anything else.
Think of all the microtransactions.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
Think
of all the VC. I just saw they have a My Career, and I'm thinking is, I reckon the My Career will be good this year. I reckon it'll be good this year.
They get you in this year. Yeah.
And then by 27, do you know what, Dan, I thought you were drinking a can of deodorant before.
It's just a weird bottle. Yeah. I'm not drinking deodorant.
What do you have? I've just been a Rex owner.
I want to stay alive just for a bit longer. GTA 6. No. I actually read something quite sad. Dune Part 2, there was a guy who was on his deathbed and he asked if he could see the film. He saw the film and then he died. Oh. Like towards the end.
At least he got to see it.
I'm glad they actually give people like that the movie. If I was directing, I would do that. For sure.
Yeah. I remember reading a story about a guy who wanted to see episode 7 of Star Wars and he saw it. And then, he didn't die the day of or anything, but he eventually passed away. But it is nice.
Remember the Starfield one where he wanted to see it? He died before it came out and then they put him in the game.
Yeah. That was cool. There was remember Borderlands had the same thing?
Yes.
The dude who would give you a different gun every day. I can't remember what his name was. But every day he'd give you a different rare gun.
Yeah.
And it was named after a character who loved the first one.
Anyway, we've gone off on a tangent. Top Spin, you're a bit of a tennis fan, quietly.
Yeah. Yep.
Gaming wise, not really.
I've played them. There's a problem I find with tennis games where you can get into endless rallies because it's just the precision isn't there. So, like, it's not as easy to make it satisfying to be good at or to be easy to be good at is what I've found.
I've found the best tennis game is Wii Sports.
Yeah.
Wii Sports tennis.
I wish people could see the straight face you said that with. But, like, you're right. Wii Sports was great. Wii Tennis, fantastic. Mario Tennis, not so good.
Oh, no. No,
that
no,
definitely
no.
has the problem of not enough complexity and not enough precision to be able to easily win rallies. Because you get into like 30 hit rallies almost every point, and it's, oh my goodness. Unless you get a good serve off at the start, it makes it really hard. That's my experience.
The feeling should be, oh my God, this rally is going long. This is crazy. This never happens.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Not just we've hit it cross court 50 times in a row to each other because we're trying to look for an opening.
It should be, wow, we're playing really well if this rally's going long. So however you do that. But, yeah, so that's April coming out. What else have we got, Jordan? A couple more. Deviation Games is shutting before they even got their first game out. Jesus Christ. That's a shame.
The story we continue to see.
What has gone wrong?
I'll be honest, when I first saw this, I forgot that Deviation was a PlayStation studio. So for those of you who don't know, Deviation is a PlayStation studio. I had completely forgot or didn't know that they were one.
Apparently, the PlayStation cut ties with them ages ago anyway. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, so this was Jason Blundell. Is it Jason Blundell? Yeah. Who was
he was from COD.
Treyarch person.
Yeah.
Who had done like COD zombies and stuff. So, yeah, that's sad.
The game's cancelled. We don't even know. It was a shooter. We'll never see the light of day. Jeez.
Which is sad, but if it was, if they're, this is how they're making money, saving money, I should say, it is what it is.
It sounds like to me that so Sony didn't shut the studio down. They cancelled the funding. So that means the studio could have gone somewhere else to get funding, but they couldn't secure a deal. So that makes me feel like it wasn't very good.
Okay.
Yeah?
I could see that.
No one wants to – if you can't get anyone on board, then obviously it wasn't there, was it?
No.
Think of that game, Crossfire, that shooter. I'm getting flashbacks of that.
Crossfire X?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Multiverses returns 28th of May for PS5.
It's actually coming back. Can you believe it?
It's coming back. It was in beta, and now they've revamped it. They've also got a PvE mode, not just PvP, PvE. So that's a good inclusion. More characters are coming, more stages, and they're going to really relaunch this thing. So who knows?
It's unreal because when this game was like taken down and was told it was going to, you know, come back at another stage, a lot of people thought it's never coming back.
I actually
and I would have believed. Did you?
Yeah, I platinumed
it. Good on ya.
So I don't know how that's going to work if it'll be the same trophies or I don't know.
I reckon it'll be the same game. I reckon it'll be the same SKU.
Same thing, you think? Yeah, because you can't you can't play it at the moment, obviously. So yeah, it's coming back, bit of a resurgence. This is another live service. So always all these live service games, geez, there is a few.
And this was a free one too.
And it still is free, right?
Yeah, like it was free to play.
Oh, one thing they did do is they upgraded from Unreal 4 to 5.
That's interesting. I wonder how that'll impact. Maybe the netcode will be better.
Yeah, netcode's better.
To do with it.
They got new netcode. Graphics are better. So
more shaggy.
More shaggy, yeah. We'll see how it goes. I wanna see some cutscenes with the characters. That's what I want. I want some interaction with Batman and Bugs Bunny and some funny stuff like that. That'd be fun. Final story, Jordan. Give it to me.
Final story is that Spider-Man 2's massive new game plus update, mission replay and such is finally here. Dan, are you a new game plus
person? Stop, Jordan. Please, man. Stop. Every time I get a platinum for a Sony game, a month later, they add the fucking new game plus trophy. I'm so sick of it, man. They have to stop this. I don't want to play every single one of your exclusive games over and over. Oh, man. Stop it.
Yeah, so you're not a new game plus.
No, person, it's great. Man. Just don't add the fucking trophy. And I don't understand. Why isn't it in the start? It should be at the start.
Dan, if you were gonna play Spider-Man again, would you want to have everything unlocked from the start?
Yeah, what's the point?
I would.
It's already easy enough.
Isn't it? Yeah, I'm sort of the same. Maybe unless you wanted to do it on hard, but then is that even an accomplishment if you've already got it? I don't know. A new game plus has always been a bit weird to me, unless you're actually changing things and you're making, you know, story beats hit differently depending on things that I have and all that sort of stuff. I get it. If you're not, I don't understand. If that, it doesn't do anything for me, New Game Plus.
So is that all they've done? There's nothing else new?
There's mission replays that you can do, new Peter symbiote suits, Oh, that's probably a spoiler.
Nah, it's not. New suits, yeah.
Marvel's Hellfire Gala suits, which was an event for the X-Men recently with their current iteration.
So when's the DLC? Did they mention that?
No, no mention for DLC. Mm. I don't know whether we're going to get one.
What did the hack say? It was a Venom game.
Yeah, my thing would be another symbiote has been set up in Spider-Man 2, and that would be the villain for the Venom game, which we knew without the Insomniac leak, I feel like it was always going to happen. We knew that a Venom game was going to happen. So, yeah. We called this years ago.
Yeah.
My tip would be the symbiote that gets introduced would be the villain for the Venom game, and then you have you have Norman Osborn and the returning character at the end of number 2 be your main villains for
the 3.
Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, maybe Venom Returns. I reckon Venom will be called something like Venom Lethal Protector, and he'll be away from New York in a Venom game. That's my thought. Yeah, that's based on one of the early comic series.
So you think they'll go quiet and we won't hear anything till that Venom game next year?
Yeah. So I reckon you could see Venom next year.
Yeah.
I think the timeline was Venom before Wolverine, wasn't it?
I think I think Venom next year. I think, what do you think, Christmas?
Yeah, just like Miles.
And then Wolverine? The following October, 26th?
Yeah. Gosh, I can't believe 26 is that close.
I know. It's scary. It's
ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Good to see you, Jordan.
It was really good to see you. Good ep.
Good episode.
Good chat.
What are you going to be playing? Are you playing anything tonight?
Final Fantasy and Balatro.
Beautiful.
What are you playing? All right,
guys. I'm going to be playing Final Fantasy. Baldur's Gate. Yeah, Final Fantasy. All right, guys, it's been a pleasure. And we will see you
later.